ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
So we know the battle is between light and darkness, between the children of God and these apostates, and what do we do about it? It's interesting. Jude doesn't say go out and go after these apostates, these men who are a danger to the church. Don't go out looking for them. I mean, if they're in the church, yeah, you got to deal with it. But what does he tell us to do? Focus on the Lord. Focus on your walk. Help others that have been affected by these apostates, because God will take care of them. You need to build yourself up, and we need to stay focused on the Lord. But how? Well, I think Jude gives us four ways. Two of the ways are here in verse 20, and we'll pick up the other two as we read on. These first points that Jude gives us are all there to stand strong and grow in the Lord. Building yourself up in the faith is the first one. And he's not speaking of faith, he's speaking of the faith. What Jude's been talking about since he opened up this letter, these truths of God found in the Word of God. And Satan knows the quickest way to defeat a local church is to destroy the foundation which it's built upon. Psalm 11:3, if foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yeah. In fact, Paul in Ephesians 2, verses 20 through 22, he reminds us, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built up together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The foundation that he's speaking of is the Word of God that's been laid down by the apostles and the prophets. And we base our faith upon that. That's what we're contending for. You know, Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to you. And Satan attacks the Word of God, waters it down. And we got to keep growing in the Lord. We need to study his Word and apply his Word to our lives. Because if we don't, we are going to be tossed by the winds of doctrine that blow throughout the church. I was shocked when we had false doctrine come into this church. I was surprised, but it can happen, just like it happened in Ephesus. And so we read the Word of God, we study it, we listen to sermons or Bible teachings, meditate, memorize. We fill our physical bodies with all kinds of food to build them up. We need to do the same with our spiritual bodies. I need to know how to live in the days we're living in. You know, I used the example before about prior to the Vietnam War, I think it was, they had a hard time with soldiers training them, you know, how to put your guns together, clean them, take care of them, because there was no war. So they really didn't care. But they said as soon as they were going to be deployed to go into battle, these soldiers paid attention because they knew their life depended on it. That's what I'm encouraging you guys. The sword of the Spirit. Know how to use it. Take up the whole armor of God because it's vital to our spiritual lives, to stand strong in the days we're living in. William MacDonald put it like this. He said, the Word of God is certainly central in spiritual growth. I have yet to meet a strong, fruitful Christian who ignores his Bible. We must daily spend devotional time in the Word, seeking the mind of God. We must also study the Word regularly, in a disciplined way so that we can better understand what it teaches. The gifted Chinese preacher Watchman Nee used to read through the New Testament once a month. This becomes apparent when you read his books, for you are struck with his wonderful insights into God's Word. The members of the Chinese church used to have a saying, no Bible, no breakfast. If we followed that motto in America, I wonder how many Christians would go hungry. Wow. The importance of God's Word. It builds us up. You know, Paul said, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God's word builds us up. It helps us in our spiritual walk. You know, how does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. Your word I have treasured in my heart, David said in Psalm 119, that I might not sin against you. You know, there was a guy who was used to say that, I've been to hundreds of sermons. I've heard them. I don't remember any of them. I can't tell you what they're all about. Another guy said to him, what did your wife cook you last Friday for a meal? I don't remember. Exactly. And yet, it is that food that you took in that is nourishing your body today. What you take in with the Word of God, you may not remember it at this moment, but when you are involved in a situation, the Holy Spirit will bring it to memory for you. How wonderful that is. So being in the Word of God. The second point, praying in the Spirit. Fellowship with God. Sensitive to the Spirit's leading. You know, why is there such a lack of discernment today? Well, I think two reasons. People don't know the Word of God and they're not praying. They're not seeking direction from God. God will speak to your hearts. He will expose the false teaching. And it's true prayer is just talking with God. You know, I've had people that, you know, they're praying in the New King or in King James English. I'm like, really? I don't speak like that. You know, these and thous and all that. I speak in my lingo. You know, it's what I say. And God can understand me. Sometimes my wife doesn't, but God does. She goes, what are you talking about? God understands. You just talk to him. That's how wonderful our God is. And I think it's interesting, you know, I was talking about this with Brandon this morning, that God, you know, people think that our prayers are like a little, like a candy machine. You put the money in, pull the lever, and out falls the candy that you want. So you just talk with God. God, give me this, give me that. You know what prayer really is? Prayer is getting our heart in tune with God's heart. That's really what it is. And as we spend time with him, he directs our lives. I think that is so important for us. His will, not our will, to be done on this earth. As we read on, we're going to look at our fruit and what's manifested in our lives as we walk in the Spirit. And that will lead us to other two points on how we could be strong in the Lord or how we can build ourselves up in the faith. Look at verse 21 here in Jude. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. He doesn't say keep yourself saved. I know some people like to use that. This is how you keep yourself saved. No. Keep working harder, do this, do that, and in the end you'll have eternal life. Well, how much do I have to do? How hard do I have to try? How much work is there? Because nobody knows, because good works don't save us. They don't get us to heaven. And think about it. If good works could get us into heaven, you wouldn't know until you died. Oh, what do you mean I missed it by one point? Right? That would be horrible. The Bible says we can know we're saved. How could we know? Because Jesus did the work, and if we receive him into our lives as Lord and Savior, we're saved. Praise God for that. In fact, Jude 1:1 says that we're preserved in Christ Jesus. Oh, there we are. Thank you, Lord. You're the one that preserves us. And then what does Jude mean when he says that we're to keep yourself in the love of God? Well, that's a tricky one for some, but think about it. Are we working to have God love us more? I think sometimes that's the way we think. But God can't love us any more than he already does, and he can't love us any less than he does. He's our Heavenly Father. Well, what is he talking about then? He's talking about walking where God is walking. We're blessed as we're obedient to the Lord. He's pouring out his blessings, and we have to stay, I think Pastor Chuck used this, under the spout where the blessings come out. I like that. Just stay under the spout where the blessings come out. We obey him. We walk with him. He demonstrates his love towards us in tangible ways. And I'll give you this example if you're still a little confused about that. When my children were young, I love them still, but when they were young, I loved them no matter what they did. Why? Because they're my children. Think about that. When my children were bad, did I stop loving them? Absolutely not. They're my children. My love for them was unconditional because, again, they were my children. The problem came when they were disobedient. My love for them didn't stop, but I couldn't bless them for their bad behavior. I couldn't take them to the movies or let them drive the car or whatever because they were bad. I was not going to bless their bad behavior. I wanted to, but I couldn't. But here's the key. My love for them didn't change. But the blessings they would have received were held back because they broke the rules that Julie and I both had set forth. And that's our Heavenly Father. He wants to bless his children, But those blessings come as we're obedient to him. I hope that makes sense, because it's not that God loves us less, but we miss out on the blessings when we disobey the Lord. You know, nowhere in the scriptures will you see, you know, if you do this, I'll love you more, God saying that. No, his love for us is unconditional. Do you really think any of us deserved salvation? Oh, you know what? Joe's in because he is such a cute and adorable guy. I mean, he's Italian, so he's good. And he's a Bear fan. Absolutely, he's going to heaven. No. And all the Green Bay Packer fans said, no way. I was a sinner in the sight of a holy and righteous God. And the only reason I'm saved is because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all my sins. Well, the fourth point is looking for the mercy of our Lord. This is interesting because as I dug into this, the whole focus of that is looking for the Lord's return, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the word translated for looking in Jude 1:21 speaks of earnestly expecting or anxiously awaiting for. It carries with it the idea looking diligently and vigilantly for the coming of the Lord Jesus with great expectation. I think Jude is talking about the rapture of the church, looking for the Lord's return. That's what Paul said in Titus 2:13, looking again for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jude uses the phrase the mercy regarding the Lord's return, and Paul speaks of the blessed hope. Same thing. And when Jude speaks of eternal life, he's not speaking of what we have when we're saved, but the culmination now of all that is ours when we're taken home to be with the Lord. The redemption of these bodies of flesh as our spirit and soul receive a new body, an eternal body. So here's the thing. In the midst of the apostasy, in the midst of these apostates, when things are looking very dark, very black, there's hope. The Lord's coming back. And it's based on the truths of God found in the Word of God. And we have complete confidence then that what God has promised, he's more than able to bring to pass. So I think these four things in our lives, if you want to be built up in the faith, are so important to apply. Build yourself up in the faith, pray in the Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, and looking for the mercy of our Lord. That's how we do it. And as we build ourselves up in the faith, we see what God is doing on the inside manifested outwardly, and the things that we do and the things that we say, the fruit. You know, we have compassion on people. We're not always angry. We're not always mad, or, you know, we just have that love of God, the fruit. And Jude makes an interesting point. He says, and some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. How do you deal with those who have been influenced by these apostates, witnessing or bringing the gospel message to the lost? How do you approach them? Everyone's different. You got to make a distinction. And how do we make a distinction, you pray? You ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me what to say to this person, how to minister to them. We're to have compassion on some. I think for most people, they need to hear the love of God. I think that's why so many Muslims today are coming to saving faith, because Allah is a horrible God. He's evil, wicked. But our God is loving, loving so much that he came down from heaven to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary, being raised the third day. And that gift of salvation is open to everyone. In fact, Paul in Romans 2:4 said, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Yeah, I think some just need to hear that. Most need to hear the love of God, because we're living in a world where there's so much anger and hatred, right? And you need that love. But Jude also says there are some, and I know there are some out there that need to have that fear cause them to repent of their sins and come to Christ, his coming judgment. Some of you have heard of Jonathan Edwards. He had a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and he used this approach, and many responded by repenting of their sins during the message. And understand, Jonathan Edwards, you know, was not a rock star preacher, okay? He wore glasses, he had poor eyesight, he had to bring his papers up to his face to read. Very monotone speaking. And yet, as he taught, people would be falling on their knees repenting of their sins. Was it Jonathan Edwards? No, it was God. The Holy Spirit was convicting them. This is just part of the sermon. The God that holds you over the pit of hell, much as one holds a spider or some loathsome insect over the fire, abhors you and is dreadfully provoked. His wrath towards you burns like fire. He looks upon you as worthy of nothing else but to be cast into the fire. He is of purer eyes than to bear to have you in his sight. You are 10,000 times more abominable in his eyes than the most hateful, venomous serpent is in our eyes. Oh my gosh, right? You hear that and you go, wow. Yeah, well, is he wrong? No. And, you know, he says, you have offended him infinitely more than ever a stubborn rebel did his prince. And yet, it is nothing but his hand that holds you from falling into the fire every moment. It is to be ascribed to nothing else, that you did not go to hell the last night, that you were suffered to awake again in this world after you closed your eyes to sleep. And there is no other reason to be given why you have not dropped into hell since you arose in the morning, but that God's hand has held you up. I guess he didn't read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. There is no other reason to be given why you have not gone to hell since you have sat here in the house of God, provoking his pure eyes by sinful, wicked manner of attending a solemn worship. So he's speaking to the people in his church. You know, he didn't have internet and radios and stuff, right? So he's just speaking to the people in his church. He's saying, you know, you guys have been here a long time, most of you. A lot of you haven't given your heart to the Lord. You're hanging over the fires of hell. Yeah, there's nothing else that is to be given as a reason why you do not this very moment drop down into hell. Wow. Oh, sinner, consider the fearful danger you're in. It is a great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit full of the fire of wrath that you have held over in the hand that God, whose wrath is provoked and incensed as much against you as against many of the damned in hell. You hang by a slender thread, with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it, and ready every moment to singe it and burn it asunder, and you have no interest in any mediator and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself, nothing to keep off the flames of wrath, nothing of your own, nothing that you have ever done, nothing that you can do to induce God to spare you one moment. That was a harsh reality. And for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit gave Jonathan Edwards those words because there were people there that needed to hear it. But like I said, most people need to hear about the love of God because, let's face it, look at our lives today. Look at all the turmoil that's going on. And to hear God loves someone like me. I know someone who close to me that struggles with this area. There's no way God could love me. You just don't know what I've done. I can't even tell you they're so bad. And there's no way God can love. Oh, yes, there is. Our God loved the thief on the cross, the murderer. He can love every single person. He does love every single person. He died for every single person. And to get that message across is hard sometimes. But they need to hear that love. But there are those that need to be, I guess, hung over the fires of hell, ready to be dropped in. But for the most part, the love of God. And I'll conclude with this. He will keep us from stumbling. Look at verse 24 and 25. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Wow. Maybe with all these apostates and the coming judgment, maybe there were some young Christians within the church that needed to hear that, you know what, you're not going to lose your salvation. Here's these wonderful words of God. He's able to keep us, sustain us. One day we'll be taken to glory. I'm secure because he's going to keep us from stumbling. What a glorious promise. We're preserved in Jesus Christ, as Jude said in 1:1, like I said already. And in the midst of these apostates, God is able to keep us from stumbling into their false teaching. He's able to save us in the first place. Isn't he able to keep us from stumbling? Yeah. John said in 1 John 5, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. You ready? This is the victory. We're all looking for that. What do we say? What do we do? Our faith. Well, what does that mean? Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Our faith in him will keep us from stumbling. Well, then why do we stumble? Why do we fail? Why do we fall? Because I take my eyes off the Son of God and I'm walking in darkness. And then I stumble. We need to know the truths of God found in the Word of God, or we're going to get ourselves into trouble. I'll give you this example. There was a woman that came home and found her husband in the kitchen, and he was just shaking frantically, and it looked like a wire running from his waist toward the electric kettle. And he's just shaking like this. So she wanted to jolt him away from the deadly current, so she whacked him with a hand plank of wood and broke his arm in two places. Until that moment, he had been happily listening to his Walkman. Well, I'm sure he's in therapy right now. Every time he hears music, he probably hits the deck. But, you know, I can't blame her totally, because if it looked like his dancing, he was getting electrocuted. All right, maybe he needed a jolt. Don't dance in the house anymore, honey. But here's the reason I bring this up. It's important to know the whole truth before you jump into something, because you can be wrong, as this woman was. And what I see here is that Jude has left us with a beautiful benediction or blessing, and he gives all glory to God. And that's what we need to do. In the midst of the apostasy that we see the church in today, praise God for what he's doing in our lives. Yeah, dangerous times we're living in, and it should cause us to draw close to God, building ourselves up in the faith, praying in the Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, expecting his return. And I'll just share this. This is from the Amplified Bible here in Jude. For certain men have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by a side door. Their doom was predicted long ago. Ungodly, profane persons who pervert the grace, the spiritual blessing and favor of our God into lawlessness and wantonness and immorality, and disown and deny our sole master and Lord, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We need to heed the warning and contend for the faith that's been delivered to us, the unchanging truths of God found in the Word of God. J. Vernon McGee put it like this. He said, if you want to know the place that Jesus Christ should have in your life, especially in these days of apostasy, here it is in this marvelous benediction. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, he is God, and he is our Lord. He should be the Lord of our lives. Glory should be given to him. We should glorify him, tell how great he is, how wonderful he is, how mighty he is, and mighty to save. He is majestic, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is mighty. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth. This universe has not slipped from under his control. All authority belongs to him, and whether you like it or not, you are going to bow the knee to him someday. In these days of apostasy, God's children need to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ and to try to hold him up before gainsaying the world. Wow. As Christians, we should be the most excited people in the world, because God is for us. Who could be against us, right? And I know, you know, all the things that are going on in the world and what's happening with the government and all the immorality and all this stuff that I've said so many times before. And my response to it, and I'm not trying to be uncaring, but so what? What's your mission? What are you here to save? You see, we're not going to save this government by putting the right people in, because the only right person in government is Jesus Christ. And he's not coming yet. He's not here yet. I'm not saying you don't vote, but I'm saying get your perspective. We're here to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. And if we're just going around complaining and just being nasty about the president and this group of people, that group of people, what does that tell people? What does that show them? It doesn't show them the love of Christ. We're to be witnesses of him. Because if our work is done, then the Lord should just take us home right now. But he's not, because there's still work to be done. We have to bring the gospel message to a lost and dying world. And I always thought, you know, being around when the church got started, how exciting, right? And then I thought, as I was thinking about it and praying, it's like, yeah, but maybe I'm that generation that's going to close out the church age. What an exciting time for the opportunities that God is going to bring across our path to minister the gospel by. Never, ever lose sight. Because all that stuff that's being thrown at you from social media and all that stuff are distractions from our work. Jesus said, occupy until I come. Continue doing the work until I come. This little letter, 25 verses, is our survival manual for Christians living in the midst of apostasy. And we shouldn't be surprised by the apostasy, but we have to study the Word of God, be in prayer in the Spirit. Watch for the Lord's coming. reach out to unbelievers with loving concern that they may be saved. Yeah, there's a lot of warning in this book, but Jude goes, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this journey through the book of Jude. And Lord, just some powerful lessons. A lot of difficult things, Lord, but you allowed Jude to close with these wonderful words that we need to look to you and just praise you and thank you for being our God and being able to go out into this world to bring the gospel message. Because you could have done it any other way, but you chose to use imperfect people to do your work. And Lord, we should be honored because we are not doing this work alone. Your Spirit is with us, working through us as we minister to the lost. Help us to earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us? On God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.